Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So, you know, I'm so excited about where we are as a church. I'm so excited, honestly, about the way we love our neighbors, the way we serve this community, and communities all across Atlanta. If you are not aware, if you're visiting for the first time, we are the Path Church, and we have members all over this city who are serving, loving, and reaching out to their networks and their community. So I wanted to take an opportunity this Sunday to be able to reiterate who we are and where we are going. And it really is exciting times in our life as a church. You know, in the sports world, colleges have a little chant they do. They say, we are, and then they say, whoever they are. And so I'm going to try that out for us today. I'm going to say, we are, and you're going to say, the Path, okay? And I know we got some sports fans in the house. And so don't let me catch you. Yeah, you may want to cover Rainey's ears back there, you know. But don't let me catch you giving more to your sports team than you do to God's church, okay? All right, you ready?
Yes.
You're supposed to say ready. You ready?
Yes.
We are.
The Path.
We are.
The Path.
We are.
The Path.
Hey, y'all did good. I like that. I like that. Hey. We are the Path, yeah. And our mission is to seek, save, send. And what that means is that we're deliberate about helping as many people be saved. Yeah. Be saved, receive salvation, be saved from their sin that leads to hell. That is the spiritual reality that we live in. And we think that's the most important thing for anybody is to help them know Jesus, trust, follow Jesus, and be saved. And to help them do the same thing for other people. You know, we get to play a unique role in God's kingdom. Not every church is as deliberate as we are about helping those who are lost and are searching for God in that way. Many churches play many different needs around this city and this world, whether it is helping Christians to mature, whether it is meeting the needs of the community, whether it is social justice. And yet for us, our core mission really is to seek and save the lost. You know, if we continue to live this out, we will be able to see our vision become reality, to create churches that mobilize the next generation. And so I love our church, but we want more churches. Because if we help start more churches, that means more people in more places around this city, this country, and the world will get a chance to hear the gospel where they are. And so my crazy outlandish dream, our vision is to have a total of 5 churches by 2030. So in the next 10 years, to be able to start 4 new churches, 4 churches around 285 and 1 in the center, so that everybody in the greater Atlanta area can get to a Path Church so they can get to know Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
To create churches that mobilize the next generation. This means that we're here to mobilize the next generation of disciples. We're here for those who are to come, no matter how old they are, right? The next generation of disciples. And that includes our children. That includes our grandchildren. That includes all of our kids in the children's ministry and the teen ministry, the preteens. And to help them to know Jesus, but also to mobilize them to seek, save, send, to move them toward Christ and his mission. Amen? Now, we have some core values that we stick to, some core convictions that are necessary in order to be able to stay focused on our mission and vision. And you can see those up on the screen, that Jesus is Lord. You see the scriptures that go along with these core values or core convictions, that the Bible is our standard. Love is our motivation. Healthy one another relationships, but also a commitment to the local congregation. And wherever you are, wherever you worship, whatever family you're in, you got to be committed there. All right? We can't be church hopping every Sunday, right? Going to all different churches just because I want to go visit. I want to get my needs met. I want to see people. No, we believe that in a local congregation, that's where the magic happens. That's where we learn how to be true disciples. We get our needs met, but we get to meet other people's needs, and we get to be on the mission together to build something powerful for God. And lastly, submission to spiritual authority. If we do not have that, we have seen churches be destroyed, taken off track from their mission and vision, including ours, because of a lack of spiritual submission to the authority that God has put in place. And we have been on an amazing journey together as a church. It's been incredible. You know, to take to go back a few years, you know, I share this little bit of this message with the leaders at the leaders workshop we had recently, but I want to make sure we all know all that God has been doing. Back in 2018, we launched with a new vision. This vision to create churches that mobilize the next generation, and it came with a huge growth spurt too. We had close to 50 baptisms back in 2018, and we knew that 2019 would be a year of process, a year that we needed to trust the process. That meant we needed to invest in our young Christians and their process of maturing in Christ. Helping them to trust the process, to be there for them when the honeymoon phase is over and they have to actually make decisions that go along with their conviction, not just the giddiness that comes with being saved, right? And so that's hard. Everybody has to go through that, where we learn, man, we really got to fight for our relationship with God. And our young Christians have fought, persevered, become more like Jesus, and are producing fruit as a result. Last year, we've been able to see more leaders trained, more small group leaders trained. Therefore, we have more small groups now in the church. We've seen more people step up to volunteer and to serve, and more people step up as volunteer team coordinators. And we need more and more of those as we prepare to launch new churches in the future. And so everybody has to be trained to be able to serve the church. We added to our staff, which was an incredible blessing. We got to add the Dorellises to the staff, and they I think they took all the preteens, and they're serving right now, having a great time with them right now. And we had to trust the process in our own personal lives. And that's been tough, because the process is not without pain. And the process often teaches us patience, and it's just hard. It's the character stuff that gets built up in us. And so I hope that we hold on to this conviction to trust God in the process. That it's not just a theme for 2019. It is who we are, and we're going to build upon that as we believe God for breakthroughs. That's our theme for 2020. Everybody say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Amen. You know, in many ways, the process is what happens in the middle of the journey. We understand the newness and excitement of a journey, right? When we set out to something new, it's exciting. Then it's not new no more, right? And it gets hard. And we have to put the process into practice. But if we trust the process, trusting the process is really holding on to this belief that breakthrough is coming. That there will be a payoff if we continue to persevere and do what is right. Getting in shape, that's a perfect example. We are, what's today, January 19th. How are we doing with our health goals for the year? The beginning is usually exciting. You know, I mean, hey, we go shopping and we go get our little fitness clothes and our... Man, we be looking good to go to the gym, man. Man, we look good in our new fits, right? We get some friends to come with us. We take them before pictures, right? And we're ready to take on the world. And then the process hits. You got to put in the work. You got to trust the process when it hurts, like physically hurts. And you wake up sore, right? And you're being pushed to go beyond what you've done before, and you don't see immediate results. You just don't. But you got to go when you don't feel like it, and you got to say no to that burger. We're going to rebuke that burger in 2020, boy. Unless it's a turkey burger or a vegan burger or something. No. And we got to say yes to that salad. And we got to deal with falling off the wagon because we will blow it. We will mess up. And yet we got to get back on the wagon. And we got to keep moving forward. You know, I've heard it say that desire doesn't lead to change. Decisions do. Decisions do. And if we choose to be consistent in our decisions, to persevere through disappointments, trusting the process will pave the path for breakthroughs. What does that mean? You hit that weight goal. You look, you get on there. I don't allow scales in my house, by the way. Husbands, that's a little bit of advice. I don't know, no scales. But amen, you go to the gym, you get on the scale. Man, you hit that goal. You worked out more than you had before. You hit your max. You finished your first 5K or half marathon, and you beat your previous time. And, you know, those jeans just start to fit different, right? You know, come on, ladies. Why? Hey, fit different. You feel different. When you walk in the room, you just hit different. You got a little swag about you. Ain't that right, Derek Chisholm? Hey, my brother Derek looks good. He's lost some weight. He's happy. He's healthy. And he is having a good time. But, there's three things that we're going to have to continue to focus on in 2020 to be able to experience these breakthroughs. Three things: love, perseverance, and unity. Now, these three things are things we have grown in and as a church, especially in 2019. We grew in these things, but we can continue to grow in them and become stronger because they are strengths for us right now. We are growing in these things: love, perseverance, unity. But what could happen if we continue to grow? If we build off the momentum that we've experienced over the last couple years, you know, I believe that it'll be amazing. And we'll see that the breakthroughs we're praying for. Let's go to Philippians. I'm going to read out of Philippians chapter 1 and 2 this morning. I'm going to do a little bit of a Bible study today. And so please take notes. And as I read, I'm going to be sharing with you some of the things that I get from this scripture. But in Philippians chapter 1 and chapter 2, the book of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul. It's the last letter that he wrote. He's in jail while he's writing this. And so we get to a unique perspective of his life and his convictions. So remember the setting and the context he's in as he writes these words to the church in Philippi, which was a region of Macedonia. And so let's read this together, and we're going to see how he goes through these three different themes in these first two chapters. Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3. Follow along. I got the NIV 1984 version. This is my study Bible. It may read a little different from the one you see up on the screen. Follow along. Paul says this. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. He's sharing this to the Christians there in Philippi. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This brother, at this point, he said, I thank God every time I remember you. I want us to think about having this same heart, this same attitude for our brothers and sisters here in the path. And I thank God he was spiritual. That brother said, in all my prayers. That brother said, for all of you, every one of them? You mean the people that, I know somebody got on his nerves in Philippi. I pray for all of you. He says, I always pray with joy. Woo, with joy. So that brother was happy about that church and the partnership that they had, that he had in the gospel with those brothers and sisters. You know, it's fitting that Northview is here this morning because that's the way we feel about Northview, the Northview Church. Man, we are so happy. We pray with joy because of the partnership that we have. And we have to understand that even as brothers and sisters in the Lord, that is one of the dynamics that we have in the one another relationships, is that we are partners in the gospel. Partners. First, you know, there are different roles. We talked about spiritual authority. But first and foremost, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether I am a lead pastor, evangelist or not, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are all partners in the gospel. Amen. And he was confident that he who began a good work in them will carry it on to completion. Man, that gives me so much confidence to know that it's God who begins a good work in us individually as a church he's talking to, and that whatever he began, whatever their mission and vision was, right, whatever he began in them, that he was going to carry it on to completion. And that there would be completion. Yeah, that it wouldn't just be this thing where they're always just going, no, there's things that we want to accomplish and bring to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? In verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. He's saying, hey, we are in this thing together. God can testify how I long for you, for all of you, with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul had an affection for his brothers and sisters, a holy affection for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love, so he's talking about his love. He says, well, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Love can result in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best. Discern what is best, y'all. Yeah. Sometimes we just, well, I ain't sinning. Well, I didn't do this, right? It's not a sin. Are you saying I'm sinning right now? No, but is it best? In our spiritual maturity, we should be looking at situations like, God, help me discern what is best in this decision that I'm about to make. What is going to bring you the most glory? What's going to be best for me spiritually? Not just for my pockets or my bank account, right? Not just for my comfort or my relationships. What's going to be best for me spiritually? He was praying that they'll have that discernment and that it may be pure and blameless into the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is one of the scriptures that I want us to pray, one of the prayers I want us to pray for us as a church this year, that our love may abound more and more. Amen? Amen. Here we see the relationship, the one another, the affection that Paul had for the church in Philippi. And I'm grateful because we really have grown in our love. And especially when it comes to giving grace, to forgiving, when it comes to having patience, love is patient with one another, patient with those who are trying to make Jesus Lord of their lives. For me, I want people to become Christians as soon as possible. I don't know about you. If I meet somebody, I'm helping somebody, or a family member, friend decides they want to become a Christian, I want to help them become a Christian. I don't know how much time they have left. But Paul said, hey, whether short time or long. And some of us come in, we get it, we're ready, we become Christians, we get baptized. Some of us, it takes a while. And it takes patience on behalf of the church. And even as we close out the year, we baptize some folks that have been around for years. Now we have our new brother in Christ, Marquise. Marquise. Marquise has been our drummer for about 4 years. He's been hearing the gospel because he stays for church for about 4 years. And little by little, I saw his heart changing. And he'd be sharing with me what he got from the message. I'm like, wow, okay, you're growing. And he started, say, I want to take my relationship with God deeper, started studying with the brothers. And little by little, he got a chance to understand what that meant. But what an incredible breakthrough. Yeah. You know, our sister Alexa, been coming out for years. And so we were able to love her along the way. And, you know, last 2 midweeks ago, she came up to me afterwards. She was like, I'm here. This is a breakthrough in and of itself. I'm here. And my husband, her husband couldn't make it. He's a disciple. He couldn't make it. I'm here by myself. I'm like, amen, sister, come on. He's growing. But that's the type of love that we need to have lots of grace, lots of patience. I shared this story with the leaders, but one of our young Christians who has struggled, that brother has struggled. It's probably been a couple years since he's been a Christian. One of our young brothers, and he's had to move away. He's come back. He's gone away for school. He has struggled, but he has fought. He has persevered. And a couple of midweeks ago, he was walking around church with cards, thank you cards, giving away thank you cards to the brothers and maybe sisters, I'm not sure. I know he gave me one that have helped him along the way. I read that card. I was so blown away by his gratitude. Now, we could have said, dude, you're struggling. You know what? You need to go figure things out and come back when you're ready. He said, no, he was growing. He's a young Christian. Just keep coming. At some point, it will click. Amen. And so we want to continue to help our brothers and sisters be able to do that as long as they are submissive to continue to get the help that they need. And he has shown that along the way. Let's continue to grow in our love, in our patience, in our grace, in our forgiveness that we give to one another. That was one of the gifts, right, that we're going to give to each other as we close out the year. All right, continuing reading in verse 12, we're going to talk about perseverance, all right? So now he transitions here, and he says in verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So he's talking about the persecution that he had gone through, the physical persecution, the torture he had been through, but also being arrested and being in jail because of his faith. And what he's saying here, he said, I want you to know, listen, I know you're hearing about what I'm going through, but I want you to know that this is actually working out for good. He says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, check out what God has done. It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. It's become clear I'm here for Christ. Amen. People are noticing that what I do is for Jesus. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. He said, because of what I'm going through. You know what? I don't want you to have pity on me. You know, I know some. Listen, me, when I'm going through stuff, I don't mind telling people, hey, I'm struggling. But I'm pushing through. But I'm learning to have Paul's heart to say, you know what? It's not even about me. Yeah, I'm going through stuff. But what I want to start doing is helping people understand, look at the good that's coming out of it. Look how it's encouraging others. Look at the good that's coming out of it instead of trying to get all this attention for us. And that's what Paul says. And in verse 15, he says, hey, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. That's the reality we live in, right? So many times we look at people who it's obvious to us that they're preaching Christ with selfish ambition, the prosperity gospel, right? And they're getting rich from and all this stuff, right? And so many times that turns us off, and we start hating on them. We start whatever it may be, right? And sometimes we get turned off from Jesus because of what we see out there in the religious world or even what we see in the church. Like, and yet, Paul has this attitude. He says, there's some that preach Christ out of envy, rivalry, some out of goodwill. The latter do so in love that we just talked about, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. Verse 17, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. They're supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. They're preaching to actually stir up trouble for me. Their preaching is y'all understand that? And there could be churches across the city that could be preaching in ways that stir up trouble for other churches. That's what he was dealing with in verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. And yes, I will continue to rejoice in his struggle. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. God, if we could have that type of conviction. Lord, please, God, please help us to have that type of conviction. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whether I live or die, I just want Jesus to be exalted through me. Whew. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He had the right heavenly perspective. If you want to learn about heaven, talk to our brother Roland Alexander. He has deep conviction about heaven. And the truth is, we should all have this conviction that we should all desire to be in heaven, that that would be far better than what we are, what we're doing here. Some of us, Lord, please, I just want to be here. Heaven, I guess, that's plan B. Plan A is to have a really good life here on earth. And by default, like, I just want to end up in heaven because it's better than hell. Paul is saying, by far, I desire to be with Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my brother. I want to be with God, my Father. That's where I want to be. Verse 24, but you know what? It's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. He says, for you, I'll keep fighting. For you, I'll continue to persevere. For you, I'll put up with the challenges and the struggle of this life. Because I'm here for you to serve. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain. God ain't done with me yet on this earth, so I'm going to remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. His purpose was to continue with his brothers and sisters in Christ for their progress. What do we live more for, our progress or the progress of others? And then he says, and joy in the faith. I continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Do we bring joy to other people's lives? When people hang around us, are they happier? Or are they more stressed out? Do we cause more drama and issues in people's lives? Some of us, we just got drama, man. I can't hang out with some of y'all. I'll be real. It's draining. Some folks, this is always something wrong. This is always some drama. Somebody doing this to somebody doing that. There's some issue that's happening. It's like, come on. At some point, can we just be happy? Can we just have more joy? Yeah. Man, leave the drama for your mama. Don't even get to your mama, actually. Just leave the drama for your daddy in heaven. Give it to your daddy. Come on. Bring joy. Does your life bring progress and joy to others so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me? Yeah. Whose joy is overflowing on account of you? This week, whose joy was overflowing on account of you? At the job, who was more happier because of you? Overflowing with joy on campus, at school, at home. Any happy spouses at home because of their husband or wife? Any happy children because of their parents? Right? Woo. Perseverance. Do we see the heart that Paul had in his perseverance? That we're just not making it through, but we have the right perspective. Just making it through is the basics. We got to be more like Jesus. In June of 2016, Maureen and her husband Josh relocated from Southern Ohio to a home they purchased in Tennessee. The house and its 8-acre wooded lot seemed like the perfect place to raise their young son and potentially to grow their family, their forever home. And then tragedy struck. A month later, in July 14th of 2016, Maureen's husband Josh Josh Beaver, he died unexpectedly of an undiagnosed heart condition. And Maureen was devastated. They were high school sweethearts. They had been inseparable for 17 years. And now he was gone. The funeral took place on July 20th. He passed. They moved in June. He passed July 14th. The funeral took place July 20th. Their son Isaac celebrated his first birthday July 21st. Josh and Maureen, they would have celebrated their 11th wedding anniversary on July 22nd. But everything had changed. The country house with its acreage and renovation projects no longer seemed like the perfect place for a single mom of a toddler, newly widowed and new to the town. In September of 2016, she purchased a smaller home in Franklin, Tennessee. That November, she hosted 14 family members for Thanksgiving dinner. That's when her aunt, in good humor, told Maureen that her house looked like a before picture on an HGTV show and dared her to apply for the show Property Brothers that was coming to town. With the help of her aunt, Maureen submitted her application that same night. Producers of the show contacted her the next morning. They set up an interview. They were compelled by her story, and they signed her up to be on the show. A few months later, they started the remodeling process. A few weeks ago, I was trying to be a good husband, as I try to do every so often. And I, you know, bring overflowing joy by sitting down and watching some HGTV with my wife. And this was the show that was on TV. We were watching this episode, and we're over there tearing up, hearing her story. My wife's like, this is never that deep of a show. Only when you're watching does it get that deep. But what stuck out to me was this clip of one of the property brothers that deals with the renovation. He was feeling bad because, you know, in every house, any remodeling, they find things that they didn't know they were going to find. And so they went to the ceiling and they found out that half of the ceiling, the beams were running one way, and the other half of the ceiling, they were running another way, and the structure of the home was compromised. And so he had to go tell her, listen, man, this is a big deal. We need to take this all out, and we need to lay the beams the right way, and it's going to cost you thousands of dollars extra that we weren't expecting. And Maureen, her reaction shocked them. She was like, oh, really? Great. I'm so glad you found that. Man, you know what? Now we can make sure that the structure is perfect for our family, and in the future, we're not going to have to deal with this. You know, it would have been horrible if we hadn't found this. I'm so grateful that you found this property, brother. I was like, we were shocked. He was shocked. He was like, I can't believe it. Like, anybody we get bad news to starts struggling, starts getting anxious. And it's like, oh, we didn't plan for this. And man, but it wasn't it. After that, they found termites. He's kicking the wall, and this just the wood is just becoming dust. Oh, I gotta call her back. I gotta, Maureen, come on over. We got termites. We gotta take this whole thing out. We gotta put new wood. We gotta get exterminators in. Then you're gonna have to, this is gonna cost you beyond this renovation. You gotta get a subscription to make sure this gets taken care of. Awesome! Thank you so much. Now we get to take care of the termites. Good. You know, it would have been so bad if we didn't find this, and then they would have been eaten away at the wood, and then later on we'd have to go back and get this. But now I know I have peace of mind now that the wood is going to be healthy and there's not going to be any termites in the future. Thank you, property brother. They were in shock. We were in shock. But it made sense. Somebody that had gone through what she had gone through, that persevered through what she had persevered through, she had to find a different way to look at life, or she was going to die in that process. She had to find a way to look at this situation and the situations in her life with optimism, with faith, instead of pessimism. right? So, and so she had to look at things and say, okay, this is a challenge, but how can it work out for my desired future? How can it work out for my good? How is God using this for my good? Her breakthrough, a few months later, her new community threw a housewarming party. Her breakthrough was a new home and a new community to live in, a new family where they could enjoy life together and move forward with her life. But her attitude, oh my goodness, her attitude was a reflection of her trust in the process. Her believing for breakthroughs. She looked at these obstacles and setbacks and even the added costs with that optimism and chose to reject the pessimism. You know, I hope that inspires us to have the same perspective as we persevere through our challenges that are coming our way in 2020. Lastly, in verse 27, he transitions to unity. He says, whatever happens, because he's just talking about all the stuff that happened to him, right? And so he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Obviously, he had just gave them an example of that. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. And what he's saying, listen, the way you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel is by standing firm in unity. As one man for the faith of the gospel. And so he calls for unity, and then he tells them how to have this unity. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Does anybody have encouragement?
Yes.
If you have any comfort from his love. Anybody felt comfort from the love? Yes. Any fellowship with the Spirit? Any fellowship with the Spirit? Any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So therefore, listen, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. If you want to have this unity, the same love, you can't be doing stuff out of selfish ambition, doing what you want to do for yourself or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Division only happens when we get selfish.
Yeah, right.
When we want our way more than any other way. When we want our way more than whatever else is going on, we want it our way or it's the highway. I'm leaving. I'm going to break this thing up. This ain't happening. I'm going to throw a fit. That's when division happens. And so he goes on to say, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. In order to be united, you got to be like Jesus. And this is one of the most convicting passages in the Bible, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. Do you understand that? He was God, did not try to hold on to that equality with God. Instead, he humbled himself. He became less than a God in some ways by making himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the presence, in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and even death on the cross. But therefore, what did God do? God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Unity. You know, there's so much that could have divided us in 2019. We had our issues. We had our sin. We had conflict with one another, but we fought through it, or we are still fighting through it. Thank you for that. Thank you. We could have been divided around the way leadership may have handled sensitive situations in the church. That divides churches all the time. It can create camps because somebody says this situation, somebody says this should be dealt with this way. Other people say it should be dealt with that way, and it creates an us versus them mentality. Creates cliques. We could have divided around even our methods. Right. You know, most of the time, well, sometimes churches divide over sin, moral failure. Many times churches divide around methods, just the way they choose to do things. We could have divided. It could have been division. And the truth is that we will do different things. We will have different methods, different strategies, but the key is being one. The key is, how do we love each other well in this process? As we're on mission to see our vision come to reality, the most important thing is how we love each other well. We can create lots of churches and help a lot of people become Christians, but if we don't love each other well, God is not going to be pleased with that. That's where the power is. You know, this fast over the last 21 days has really unified us. You know, when we're in this thing together, we're staining or committed to things for the last, man, it brings us together. We know we're all struggling together, and we've learned so much, and we've already had some spiritual breakthroughs, and there's been sin that's been brought to the light, and there's been confession, and there's been repentance, praise God, and there's been a renewed focus in our lives, praise God. I'm so inspired by the good news that I've been hearing. And now we're going into our 3 days of fasting to close out our 21 days of fasting, where we're encouraging everybody to give up food. The first 21 days was whatever you wanted to abstain from, commit to. For God is a time of consecration, but we're encouraging all of us to give up some type of food for the 3 days leading up to when we close out our fast on Thursday evening in our small groups and eat together, okay? Examples of that fast is a full fast. Some people are fasting from Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, breaking their fast on Thursday night, only water. Some people are choosing to do sun up to sundown, or from 7 to 7 every day. I'm not going to eat for this time period. Hey, that's fine. Whatever you decide, commit to it and make sure you are committed to the Lord in prayer. And I want to encourage you to pray about some specific things in your life. Specific things that you can say, God did this. I want to see God do this. God, please. And we can pray about those things. Amen. Here are some of the things that we need from you to pray, for you to pray about in 2020 that we can be praying for during the next, during these 3 days of fasting that we're going to go into this week. Number one, plan to give consistently and sacrificially. Plan to give consistently and sacrificially. We did a great job of this, the best we've ever done. And 2019 is the best we've ever done in our sacrificial and consistent giving. I want us to build upon that this year. You know, for me and my wife, we've already made our giving goals for 2020. And part of that was upping our contribution. Every year, we strive to up it something, man, 5, 10, 50, something that we can continue to grow and excel in our giving. So pray about your giving goals for this year and save for our church-wide events. These are the events that, for us, unify us, bring us together. They're memorable events. We make memories together. But also, they're powerful times when those we are reaching out to really get to see God. They get to see the way we love each other. They get to see, experience the kingdom of God for our marriage retreat that's coming up. You know, go ahead and register for that. As soon as possible, go ahead. And it's going to be an amazing time to grow in our unity as married couples. We know that our unity starts at home. We can't be united as a church if we're not united with our spouse and our family, right? And so be praying about that. Register for that. We have a great team that's planning this, and so let's go ahead and prioritize that. Also, next week we have our official launch service, and Mike will be preaching the word. We're trying to get a lot of our friends out for that. So let's be praying about that, and we're excited that our brother Mike will be preaching for us to kick us off in 2020. The next thing I want us to do is prioritize making disciples. This year, we're going to focus on making disciples who make disciples. The goal for everyone is to become a disciple maker who then makes disciple makers. You know, as we were going through our journey of finding a church building, and the building that we were looking at fell through, and I was struggling with my disappointment, I heard God say to me, in the spirit of 1 Corinthians 3, he said, listen, I'll worry about your church building. You keep focusing on building the church. And I said, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, be careful how you build, be an expert builder, that we are, the church is the building of God. God says, keep focused on that. I got you. And that's what's going to help us continue to build, is really everybody striving to be a disciple maker. What that means is that we're equipped and confident to help somebody make Jesus Lord. Amen. Equipped and confident to help somebody make Jesus Lord. And we get that. We do a good job of that. We need to grow in that, but we do a good job of that. This year, we need a breakthrough when it comes to us becoming disciple makers, who not only make disciples, but make disciple makers, or make disciples, Quay said, make disciple maker makers. This is the breakthrough we need as a church. What does this mean? That means that especially for our mature Christians, those who, if you know how to make a disciple, yes, please make disciples, but help, bring somebody along with you and teach them to make disciples. That's where we want to get to, where you are equipped and confident to help somebody else make disciples. And so this is a challenge to our mature Christians, to our disciple makers, to take it to the next level. And this is going to mean more focus, more accountability, so we can grow and change our culture. We know this scripture, Matthew 28, 18. We know this scripture. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that. We love to baptize folks. I love that. That is our mission. But we got to go. Can we go to verse 20? There's a verse 20. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so Jesus, for us, we have grown in this, like I said, in 2019. Helping our young Christians mature, we got to continue to grow in this. And for us as a culture, too many of us still see our finish line at baptism. That wasn't the finish line for Jesus. Jesus said, if that stops there, then the message will not get out. We got to continue to teach them to get the message out, to obey all things. And one of those things is to do this same thing, make disciples. Lastly, we need you to pray for our future church home. For our future church home. If you had not heard yet, we have been looking at a church building. And this is the church building that we have been looking at. 745 Bolton Road. We had our leadership workshop, and we asked our leaders to go ahead and pray because we are in the process of signing an initial contract to start the process of our due diligence. It's not closing, it's an initial contract. And we did. Amen. We signed a contract, y'all, on our new home. We also asked that God would be with us with our lending. Our Solomon Foundation found a great organization that is helping us and meeting us where we are with our finances to help the church to continue to grow, to be in a church building, to continue to grow as a church. And it's not a bank, it's a foundation. That's working with us. And it was God. I'll tell y'all the story some other time because I know I'm running out of time. But I have ran out of time. But it's been amazing. And so we were officially approved for our loan this week as well. So thank you for your prayers. That's the sanctuary, looking in at it. You keep going to the next one. That's the balcony. The next one is where we are on the map. And it's just a few miles down the road, y'all. Just a few miles down the road, right off 285 and 20. So I ask you to please keep praying. There's a lot that has to be done, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the building. I thank God for Roland Alexander. Our board president has been on it. Sean Patterson, they've been on it. They have done an excellent job getting this to where it is now. So please keep praying for them and for God to give us discernment and wisdom along the way. And I'm praying specifically for all the people we're hiring to go look at the building to make sure it's all good, that they will be honest, trustworthy people. Okay? So please pray about that. As we close out in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, I leave us with this scripture, and we'll get to pray for communion. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I love what it says in the NLT. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Everything that we talked about today, everything that we'll ever talk about is about God. It's about God giving us both the desire and the power to accomplish his will for our lives and for our church. And at this time, as we remember Jesus and we take our communion, let's thank God for that and ask him for renewed desire, renewed power to follow him in the way that pleases our Father. During this time, we ask you to please stay in your seats as our host team will be passing around our communion. Let's pray. Father, you are the one and true God. You are our Father. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are humbled to be in your presence. We are humbled by the way you use the Bible, your words that you give us, God, to help us to become more like Jesus. And we pray specifically that we can imitate Jesus in his love, in his perseverance, and in his unity, God. God, help us to keep in step with your will, to keep in step with your spirit. God, we give you all of our plans. We give you all the things we're dreaming about, God, and we ask that you either modify these plans or magnify them to your glory. God, we thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross. None of this would be possible if it wasn't for his sacrifice, for his love, for you and for us. And God, I pray that you will bless this time of communion, God, as we commune with you and with each other, as we take this bread that symbolizes the body of Christ, this juice that symbolizes the blood of Jesus. God, that we may take it in a manner that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.